I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do? What's up?
Yeah, you know.
Good Tuesday?
Was a good Tuesday.
Was?
Well.
Is.
Well, I got to work.
Bruh. We got a long show.
Now you got to perform.
You have to perform?
Yeah. Dance. Yeah. Dance, monkey, dance.
Is this really a performance?
It's a performance art piece. But I don't think we're getting any sort of government grants. Like
we are artists.
Yeah, we play fart sounders. That's why this isn't funded by the government. There's no grants to put on the show. I don't think it's going to happen. Right. Although, you know, we got another letter from Homeland Security further stating what sort of essential personnel we are.
We have to carry two letters in our car at the same time.
What is this?
As if the first one isn't that's not official enough.
What is all this stuff?
I got
three emails about this.
Well, it's the idea is that if
that's
somehow
three too many.
They put us on some sort of we're grounded, like tisk tisk.
What?
That we can still go in. Like if the city grounds everybody, we can still violate it and be like nuts to you. We're ungroundable.
Or if we're out after 8.
Okay.
Yeah, well, there's a curfew.
There's no curfew tonight. Did you guys hear that?
Well, you know, can I take a minute and give an attaboy to the Portland protesters last night? Peaceful, not destroying anything. They may even came out and gave them an attaboy. So that's the way to do it.
Yeah. Do it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll give them that. You know, I'm not much of a protester myself, but that's one of those things that you saw last night, multiple people trying to take it in the wrong direction, and they shut that down. And that's what you have to do. That's how you get your message across, is by stopping that and saying you're not going to hijack what it is that we're doing. I was proud. I was proud of the city last night for what they did.
There's a lot of people out there.
Yes, there was. A lot of people are angry. A lot of people making their voice heard, but doing it in a way that doesn't go sideways. And to control a group that large and to self-police yourself like that, I'd give them an attaboy. Absolutely.
They're evolving.
Yes. And they need to, right? I mean, otherwise, you know, this thing becomes muddled. It's like the Kaepernick knee thing, right? It starts out in one way, and then all of a sudden the message that you have that is a worthy one and one that needs to be out there and taken seriously gets taken in the wrong direction. Remember, somehow him kneeling for police brutality became like he hates America and he hates the military.
Wait, Kaepernick?
Yeah. You know, that whole thing was completely hijacked.
How do we feel about him now?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people are looking back and being like, all of a sudden, the peaceful knee doesn't sound so bad now, does it? But, you know, who knows? It's hard.
Well, it's coming back.
It's hard to, you saw a lot of that last night. That people
when the NFL starts, players are going to do it.
Oh, well, absolutely, they should.
Now, the question is, will they do it around the anthem or will they find another way to?
Yeah. Well, and I hope if they do it around the anthem again, then it doesn't get hijacked and the message remains, you know, what it is that you're trying to accomplish. So, I mean, look, it's weird times, but people are mad as hell, and hopefully something positive comes out of this. Otherwise, you know, wash, rinse, repeat, and we're here a couple years later being outraged with nothing actually changed. So I've got my fingers crossed, and, you know, whoever it is you pray to, or whatever higher power, or just, you know, the belief in humanity that we can be better, we will be better, and hopefully something actually changes.
All right, Bill. Got a big show.
I've decided to go with Doug as my generic, you know.
Doug?
Doug.
I'll take it.
What's up, Doug? Hey. I just feel like if I want generic names, you know, buddy, guy, nah, I'm going to go Doug. Like, if I don't know your name, I'm just going with Doug. What's up, Doug? Maybe Al. You know, I've been toying around trying to find my new generic name.
Well, we've talked about this before, but people who call other people generically buddy.
Buddy, pal.
That is condescending. You probably don't mean it that way,
yeah,
but it comes across that way.
Hey,
pal.
You tussle someone's hair. It's
hey,
like a
buddy.
Judge Smales. Hey, you want to get a Fresca? Huh?
How you doing, buddy? It's like, it sends a message of, I know you, but I don't really need to know your name. You're just a buddy.
What is the Ron Swanson method?
What's up, buddy?
When someone gets a little too chummy with me, I like to call them by the wrong name to let them know how little I care. That man was an American treasure.
Still is.
Yes. God bless Ron Swanson.
Still alive, Ron Swanson.
And Nick Offerman, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, he's
same guy.
He's the guy that
different
plays.
Different people.
Yeah. Different, very, very different people, but it's... If you know anything about Nick Offerman, it's great because when they made that character, Parks and Rec, Ron Swanson, they took so many components of Nick Offerman. He kind of made it his own character, from the woodworking to the type of scotch that he likes to drink. And it's kind of fun to see Offerman, who is politically quite different than Ron, but have a lot of him kind of woven into the character.
Fan text line, new number, 503-250-1080.
Yes.
Somebody says, hey,
I just went George Takei for some reason there.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
I don't know where that came from, but.
Yeah. Boss. Okay. Two things. One guy says the worst one is boss.
Yeah.
Totally. Hey, what can I get you, boss?
Now, God. Is it bad that I call our boss, Jeff Baton Rouge?
No, that's different.
I call him boss man.
I know that's different.
Well, actually call like Kim, who's our big, big boss. I call her boss lady.
Yeah, that's different.
No, that's a respect thing, right?
It's
like
different.
You're the boss.
Boss is generic, like bud. Yeah, hey, boss. Like yeah. You're was a boss.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Don't ever do that, kids. And then the other one says, "Hey, bud," makes me want to strike you.
Well, that's a Spicoli thing.
Hey, bud.
That's what he drops to Mr. Hint. Hey, bud, what's your problem? Yeah, that's a. I find bud to be quite offensive.
Oh, quite offensive.
Yeah, bud is the worst of those.
Like, really? See, yeah. I think boss is worse
if you
than
want,
bud.
If you want chief, boss, bud, buddy.
Chief.
Yeah.
God.
I find bud to be the lowest form of that.
So bud is almost like you're snickering.
Yes. It's a very, well, they're all condescending, but I feel like bud is like you're doing the little stoner kid thing.
Yep. How do you feel about...
And it's probably because Spicoli. Like, that's where
hey,
that...
bud.
Yeah.
How do you feel about big guy?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I hate big guys so much.
Yeah. What's up, big guy? Well, because you guys are big guys.
We're big guys.
Do you know how many people defaulted my nickname to be Big Mike?
Yeah.
It was constant.
So...
Well...
And I mean, you can
not
it's
creative.
Like, okay, I get it. I'll be Big Mike. I mean, a lot of my college friends still call me Big Mike, and it's like, okay, I understand. But
You're look at what I'm known as on the air. When I first got hired.
Big
right?
Zook.
Yeah.
Big Zook.
When I first got hired.
Big Zook.
The great Iron
Furnace.
Yeah.
Zook.
The great Iron Furnace worked here.
I'm sorry.
And Furnace knew me from college. And I've been, my brother got called Sook. It's just Sookanic. It's easy to shorten it to Sook. Yeah. I've been Sook my entire life.
Sook's not a bad nickname.
No.
Big Sook is.
So when Furnace came in and met me for the first time when I was interviewing here, the old boss, Alan Davis, was like, hey, what did he call you? And Furnace is like, he's like, hey, it's Sook. And he's like, Sook. And I was like, ah, yeah, it's whatever. And Furnace just threw in a Big Sook. Like he just like no one has ever called me Big Sook. Like that's just it was always just Sook. Because the guys I played it with were much larger than me. I was not like an oversized offensive lineman. And the moment Furnace said Big Sook, the glint in Alan Davis's eye, the excitement, he's like, what? Big Sook.
Jason.
Yeah. And
that's
I was,
it.
And I was like, can we not do that?
Don't
like,
F up.
I'm like, can we do anything else besides he's like, no. Big Sook. I love it. Furnace and Big Sook. And for the last 17 years, Big Sook. And after a while, you just kind of like, yeah, you roll your eyes.
I enjoy it when people call you Big Zook.
Yeah. I'm trying. If you've noticed,
like they can't.
If you've noticed over the years, the big Zook has tried to be dropped in just Sook. I'm fine. I have no issue with Sook. I've been called
that
my entire.
Yeah, but it's right in your email.
I know.
And your Twitter handle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like. It's you, man.
Both, by the way, both set up by the company. Didn't have,
like, LeBron can't just change his name.
Yeah.
The weird thing was when I lost weight and went back and saw my college friends for the first time, all they did was call me slightly less Big Mike.
No.
And I was like, come on, guys. Like, I know get I'm creative. Tall still, but
well,
geez.
See, you're right in the middle. You're a normal-sized guy, right? Rob's not big. He's not small.
Sexy is usually how it's described.
I was going to say, do small people get commented on? Yeah, little, like, I'm saying just say, like, if you're like...
Like little Billy?
Yeah, if you're like 5'6", because I swear, Mike gets, I'm sure you get the same thing. I am fascinated by the number of people that meet me out and about, and the first thing that they like to comment is, God, you're big. Thank you. I don't know how to respond to that.
Does that make you... Does that hurt your feelings?
I don't know what to say. It's just, it's an odd thing.
It's an odd thing to default to.
Yes.
Well, isn't that like a lot of things where people are just generally uncomfortable and they don't know what to say, so they just say what comes to mind and then, you know,
the first thing that comes to mind is your size?
Well, it's just like anybody who comments on my hair or beard.
Yeah, I guess.
It's the same thing.
That's probably it, right?
It's like, why are you, like, there's a lot of people with beards and long hair. What?
Yeah, I'm sure you get that. Your default is now you go to the hair.
And that's fine.
So but I get that. Me and, like, if you're Mike size or Mike, like, that is the
whatever stands
number
out
one.
To people, they're going to say something because they don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
They can't just say, hey, how's your day? Hey, bud, how's it hanging?
Yeah. He's like, wow, man, you're big.
Hey, big fella.
Thanks.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Or, like, if you go over to eat at someone's house for the first time and then they're upset that you don't eat more, you're like, no, I'm good. No.
No, you should.
Yeah, you should
look
more.
At you. You should want this.
No, I'm good. I just, it's normal size portion.
Look at you. You should want this.
You want 7 burgers? No, I'm good. I just eat one.
I know guys like you. You're going to want this.
Yeah, keep going. You're like,
you're not fat, but
yeah, it's just this.
Don't you want 5 of these?
It's a weird dynamic when it goes down those roads.
Good times.
Man, I really shouldn't have spent all that extra money on the portions for you that I expected you to eat.
Yeah, then they're pissed. They're disappointed in you.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like, you're
me.
Not a fat guy.
No, or I guess you can get the other one because either you get the comment of, God, you're big, or I get this. What? You're not that big. I thought you were supposed to be.
Oh, not that big.
You're supposed to be. And then my brother is bigger than you. Great. Good for your brother. Like, thumbs up. I don't know. Or hey, or if me and John are out together, your brother's so much bigger than you. Yeah. Like, he should be Big Sook. Yes, he should.
Yeah. Here's a guy who says he gets, wow, you're gray.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Why would you say that to somebody?
Yeah. Is that
not that it, I mean, like, most of the time they're like, whatever. Yeah, I know. I look in the mirror, but why? Like, what do you,
that does feel
that?
Very negative.
Yeah. And then another guy says he's 5'5 and says people comment on his height all the time.
Yeah. So I was going to ask if short people got the same thing.
That's why they have little man's complex. Do they call it? Little man syndrome.
Little man syndrome. Yeah. They get pretty uppity. Like, do women do that? Or is it just like, do women come up to him and be like, hey, that's a big rack you've got?
No. See, I think what women do, women say it with their eyes. Like, they talk to each other.
Yeah.
They size each other up way more than men do. We find one thing and we're like, ha, nice hair. And then whatever.
Yeah.
Let's go have a beer. I think women present themselves mostly the way they do for other women.
Sure.
Like, there's a standard.
It's judgmental.
And they're all watching.
Yeah.
And they don't say, it's unspoken.
It's
but
just an eye shape.
Yes.
It's like, oh my God, hi.
Hi.
I know everything about you.
You know what I love about you? You'll just wear anything. I love that you just throw that together and just go out. It's very
so brave.
It's very past. Yes. Like, what is that? Amy Schumer that has that. Amy Schumer did a nude photo shoot and she goes, the last thing you ever want is when you're doing like a nude photo shoot for a magazine is to be called brave. Like, that's not a compliment.
Here's another one. Hoss.
Yeah. Yeah. Big Hoss.
What's up, Hoss?
Well, and this is the other one too, that you get, cause not only do I get the big guy, but you also get the bald thing.
You get bald.
Hey, man, you're bald.
So basically, it happens to everyone unless you're really, really, really mundane looking.
Sure. Yeah. Everyone, you just get something.
Then it's like, hey.
Hey, you normal
there guy.
Like, do people just walk up to like Brad Pitt or whoever and be like, God, you're handsome?
No.
Probably.
Like, what, that's understood.
Like, what? Because like women that are like 9s and 10s, that is like universal.
Well, it's
like,
understood.
People will just like stop them on the street and you're just like, wow.
Oh, they get catcalls all the time.
Left and right.
by all the dirtbags out there who can't just look through sunglasses instead of...
just be like undercover creeps like the rest of us.
That's right.
And come then on. Talk behind their back.
Women do the same thing. They're just undercover about it. If
you look one way at the woman, then look the other way to act like you were looking both ways before crossing the room.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like women bulge shop. They do everything that we do. No. It's just that they're classy about it. They disguise it. Yeah.
Well, it's like, look, you don't look directly at the eclipse, right? You glance at it and then you look away. And you store it for later.
Yeah, you size them up. All right. Well, there's your first segment, guys.
Yeah, there you go.
Sometimes you have more storage space available, though, Sue.
That's true.
Thank you.
Well, stuff has to get, stuff has to get recycled. Boot it out and you make way for the new stuff.
Big show.
Big show.
Thank you, ladies. Big show. We have a USC booster who has been booted. Booster booted.
He gone.
She.
Oh.
You didn't even know. Do you know the story?
She gone.
You know what she did? Obviously
no,
not.
I don't know what she did.
Yeah, wait till you hear. And then, we've got some other cool stuff today. What? Why are you laughing?
It's just a funny tease. Oh, you don't know. Well, wait till you hear.
Yeah, wait till you hear, bro.
I can't wait. I'm on the edge of my seat. I paid for the whole thing, but I only need the edge.
Terry Stotts made a statement.
Tuesday.
Live from the desert?
No, his is written.
Damn it. Yeah, you have to release.
You need to comb over that thing.
Yeah, hello, I am Terry Stotts, head coach of your Portland Trail Blazers.
Go Rip City, live from my backyard. Yeah, everyone has to release a statement. You're no one right now unless you're releasing a statement.
You really do.
Yeah.
The people want to hear what you have to say.
Even though
put a pin in it.
Yeah, we'll put a pin in it. Just going to stop.
All right. Let's get started, though.
I'm crafting my statement currently.
Yeah, me too.
It's a work in progress.
I've been working for 5 days on it.
I know.
Keep scratching things out.
Again, it's going to take time. It's like blue steel, right? You don't just release it at once. Got to be thought out.
Well, we'll start with the fan personality poll question series. And then no fans for sports means major changes. A few ideas. Coming up, 316 on The Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, I'll read Terry Stott's statement coming up here. Here is today's 1080thefan.com poll question. As always, on our website, 1080thefan.com, and it's brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. Family business. Helping families for over 50 years, AAAIAQ.com. This is the second to last fan personality series poll question today. Well, actually, let's recap yesterday first, and I'll tell you who won. Yesterday's question, which was number 8 of 10.
I don't remember what yesterday's was.
It was which fan personality is most likely to be hypnotizable.
Oh, yeah.
And Cam Cleland is your winner.
Wow.
Which is really odd.
That's
an odd choice by the listeners. Because I don't see him as hypnotizable.
No, nor do I.
Will Darkins second, who I do see as hypnotizable.
Yeah, Will, but still, I can't get over the fact that Beefsteak Mike or Big Mike over there wouldn't be the odds-on favorite.
People don't listen close enough,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, I would clearly be the odds-on favorite. I would even admit that. Yeah.
Today, the fan personality series poll question is number 9 of 10, and it is which fan personality is most likely to be completely uninsured?
Well, is Joe Fisher on there?
No.
Because Fish is like, he's kind of on that.
For some reason, he didn't make the cut.
Yeah, he's in that like weird transition stage, still trying to, and he gets mad about the kid thing, but he does have like a twin bed that he keeps in the corner.
Well, how old is he? How old is Joe?
Oh, I want to say late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, he's like 28, I think.
Yeah.
He's a young guy. Yeah, isn't he the youngest guy here now?
I think he's the youngest guy here.
Everybody, have you noticed that, like, we've had some internal emails and stuff going around?
Sure.
Through what, COVID and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed how often we're referred to as a completely veteran lineup?
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that, like, because I don't really think of it that way because we're the old guys.
Sure.
Right? So it's like, I still think of Dirt and Sprague as young guys, but they're really not. No, like, they've been on the air a long time.
5-6 years, something like that?
I think more than that, haven't they?
It's been a while.
And they had the regrettable Danforth Dirt and Sprague years.
Yes.
But now we're very veteran.
Yeah, there's
a veteran crew here.
There's not. Now, we got some young whippersnappers trying to get on the come-ups.
Well, Joe is the youngest.
Yeah.
He's 28. And Mike's in his 30s now.
Yeah, there's not
Who's
a lot.
Who's younger?
I think that's it. I think Fish is the youngest.
This station.
Yeah. Well, he wears his hat backwards a lot. And he just, you know, the no insurance thing you would think is a youth sort of movement. But the fact that we're all kind of in of an advanced age, I don't know where I would go with completely uninsured.
I don't know about advanced, but, you know, we're not young. We're not in our 20s.
You're gray. I'm bald. Trust me, man. We're getting there.
Yeah, I'm about to snap an Achilles.
I know.
We
did have to have
the old guy, Swigard.
Swag. He's 50.
Swigard's in a walking boot.
Yeah, because he's got tendonitis, which I made fun
Wait,
of him.
So his shin.
Oh, yeah. And his the shin splints. I had those when I was a kid. Those hurt. But he went and walked a golf, like Sheep Ranch or whatever. They went and played Bandon.
Yeah.
And he came back in a walking boot?
No, he was hurt before that, got an MRI, found out it was tendonitis, and the doctor wanted him in a boot for 2 weeks, but he said, let me go play Bandon first. And then he got the boot on.
That's what I would have done, too.
I'm trying hard not to be, because the Tuffy Tufferton football player. Like that,
oh, here you go. Here
you
go.
I know, because that I really...
Why don't you just let people do their thing?
I try hard not to do that, but... Have some GD pride. You have tendonitis and you're in a walking boot?
Well, doctor's orders.
What? For heaven's sakes.
Doctor's orders.
Oh, quit being such a rube.
Put a pad on it and get out to walk. For heaven's sakes.
I think that this one will be either you or Sprague.
Completely uninsured.
Yeah.
I bet you I'm the most insured.
Well, no, that's not the question. The question is, which is most likely... to be completely uninsured.
Yeah.
And I would think you would be up there because you don't want to pay for it.
Mm.
And Sprague, same. But Sprague's younger.
Yeah.
Long shot, maybe Dirt.
I could see
I mean,
that.
He doesn't have much to insure. He doesn't have kids. He's not married, right?
Yeah. I'll just say I am worth way more dead than I am alive. And the policy goes down quite a bit when my youngest turns 18.
Uh-huh.
So I got about 3 years left, but it's a chance that one of my kids bumps me off. Like it's serious. Like we're going to be out boating one day and there's going to be quote an accident. And when that happens, please look at my oldest because something tells me she's going to be involved in this, especially if she's around when that accident occurs.
Well, tomorrow is our final fan personality series poll question.
It's winding down.
And I'm trying to get a crescendo question. Without asking which fan personality is your favorite. We don't want to do that, do we? Do we want to do that?
Nah.
I don't think we want to do that. We want to be more creative with it. But I'm trying to end with a bang.
Okay. Maybe we can
So I'm still noodling.
Well, how about we take some suggestions?
Yeah.
503-250-1080. What do you think should be the final fan personality question?
Yeah, what do you want to know? That's good.
Yeah.
503-250-1080. Suggestions for tomorrow. Okay, Phil. Or is it Bill?
Doug.
It's Doug.
Oh, I wanted to tell you, I was serious about kneeling coming back.
Yeah.
Because everybody's talking about Kaepernick now.
Sure.
He's not in the league anymore.
No, and he's not going to be.
But Sean McVay, I saw, said today, he's like, my players can participate in any sort of protest that they want when the season starts.
Well, and that was such a huge deal. And obviously it became a huge political point and the president took it up and the vice president and, you know, he called them sons of bitches. And, you know, that thing was really,
well, think about it now.
It was the one thing, honestly, that took a bite out of the NFL, right? Like player safety and spousal abuse and, you know, the concussion and, you know, the guys killing themselves. None of that dented the NFL. The one thing that dented the NFL was the president just saying, you know, how dare you? And then people picked that up and it really became a hot button political thing where the NFL actually took some blows, and that's kind of a Teflon league. So it'll be interesting to see now in light of what has happened since then, if they come back and they do take a knee, one, do people in office, whether you're talking about Congress or the vice president, or the president, do they want to pick that fight again? Do owners want to pick that fight? Do fans, or is this viewed completely differently now? Now that would be a very, very interesting thing. Because you know, Muhammad Ali is one of my all time favorite athletes. He's one of my all time favorite people. He's an absolute hero of mine. And now he's viewed as this unbelievable icon and this voice of reason. But at one point, Muhammad Ali was the most hated man in America. he was spit on, and he was viewed as the absolute villain, and he was proven to be on the right side of history, and he didn't, nothing changed. He just, the narrative around him changed. Mm-hmm. And Kaepernick at one point was viewed as a hero. And then he went to be a villain amongst a lot of people. And I would make the argument that Kaepernick is the least popular NFL player right now. And will this kind of come around? And with some people, he's not viewed that way, just like Ali was. But there are a good portion of people in this country that loathe Colin Kaepernick. And it will be interesting to see if the narrative on him and what he stood for, what he knelt for, if that changes as we move along and history views what he did and everything that came afterwards, you know, slightly differently.
Well, I think we're viewing it differently now.
Yeah.
I think it's viewed differently now through the lens of what we're seeing out there right now. So it will be fascinating to watch if this continues into the football season and players find a way to make their voices heard during games or before games or whatever.
I think it's going to be a lot.
That will be really interesting to see the reaction to that, as bad, as negative as the reaction was before, which I think a lot of it did have to do with the national anthem.
Sure.
Thing. If they again, I think if they find a way to protest or make their voices heard outside of the national anthem, I don't think it will be nearly as poorly received as before.
Well, no, because I think
that was really the crux of it.
Sure. But I just think in light of everything that's happened, I think the idea of peaceful protest now is what everyone is calling for. Even the president, regardless of what you think of him, not trying to make it a political thing, the president came out and said, he was the guy that's really kind of stoked the fire of the Colin Kaepernick thing, right? He was, and he led the charge that this was not okay. And he's obviously got a lot of backers that follow suit. But he came out the other day, just yesterday, right, and said that he is an ally of peaceful protest. You know, some people are obviously going to choose to not believe that because of what happened in front of the church, but those were his words. So it's going to be hard for political leaders to come out and say, we're for peaceful protest, we're not for the looting, we're not for this, but we respect everyone's right to peaceful protest. And then for someone to peacefully protest and take a knee and then turn around and say, well, those sons of bitches, get off the field. It's just going to be real hard to attack them the way that they were before.
Okay. Text the fan text line, 503-250-1080. Some good poll question options coming in for tomorrow, which we'll get to. And I'll read you what Terry Stotts had to say about all of this. But that's going to be next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
The new fan text line phone number, text number, phone number, numbers, the group of numbers that you text is 503-250-1080. That was effective yesterday. 503-250-1080. Shove it in your phone. Some very good fan personality series poll questions, suggestions coming in from you.
Yeah.
So many.
Some of them we can't mention on here, but you know.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm going to use some of the. Maybe we extend the fan personality poll series.
There is quite a few.
There are. So here's a smattering. Here's a sampling.
Are you okay?
What the people are they're saying out there. Which fan personality would you feel most comfortable loaning money to? That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Which fan personality is most likely to have a tramp stamp?
That
also
is
a good one.
That is actually, now I'm horrified because I am far and away the most tattooed.
Yeah, you'd win that.
Simply because I have tattoos?
Sorry. Well, yeah, because the more you have, the more you have, the more the odds are you have a regrettable one.
See, I don't.
In an area that you don't.
I don't know if I'm going to win that.
Who do you think would win that?
I think that's a Sprague thing.
Oh.
Sprague or Dusty has Dusty has one on his ankle.
Well, a lot of guys do.
Ankle tattoos?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think that's a common place for early tattoos.
Early tattoo exploration.
Like you see the guy with the frat.
Yeah. And so that's my thing.
What are those frat letters on there?
I feel like one of those. Like I'd be I would be intrigued because I again, far and away more tattoos than anyone else.
Sada.
But I don't know if I'm winning that. Simply because I have tattoos. Because no one else really has any.
Yeah.
They've got
that one may not make the cut, though.
They've got one or two.
Which fan personality is most likely to have a sex tape leaked?
That's a good one.
Once again, I'm looking right at you. Which fan personality would you most want to road trip with? That's a good one. Which fan personality is most likely to leave for another radio host job? Which fan personality is most likely to become a cult leader? That's an interesting one.
I'm actually kind of intrigued by who would win a handful of these.
I know. Well, we'll keep it going then.
Yeah.
We don't need to do just 10.
Yeah.
Which fan personality is most likely to get caught sending nude pics? And which fan personality is more likely to retire and entirely live in an RV?
Ooh, the RV living.
Yeah.
Mm.
So anyway, just some suggestions.
Yeah. Keep them coming if you want. 503-250-1080.
We'll keep it rolling. Where were we? Oh, somebody mentioned Kaepernick. And, you know, that's obviously a good point, that if he didn't kneel during the national anthem, then it wouldn't have gotten the traction that it did. No one would care.
Well, that's
the
thing.
It was about the national anthem.
Yeah, well, he had done this multiple times.
Right.
Like, this idea that it's weird that sometimes you can be doing something and no one pays any attention to it, and then all of a sudden someone's like, hey, what's he doing? Well, he's kneeling. And someone asked him, what are you kneeling for? And he said what it was. And then all of a sudden it spiraled out of control. But that's not the first time that he had done that. He had been doing it. And it's weird how something seemingly so small and the idea of a peaceful protest turned into, I don't even know what you would call that. Such a hot button political issue.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's kind of what everything is these days.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, we have lost the ability to have any sort of rational discussion without it turning into, you know, a political hard line stance being drawn.
Politicize everything. So.
Yeah. But I will say that what's going on right now, again, if you're trying to find some silver lining in this, and again, who knows, maybe a month from now, this is all just, you know, water under the bridge because, God, we've been here before. Look about like school shootings, right? Something. School gets shot up and we're all pissed off, seemingly.
Hey, those are on the back burner.
Yeah. Well, you got to have, you know, kids in school in order for that to happen.
No, we don't. Well, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I mean, like that's, hey.
Yeah, we had one in Arizona like a little bit ago, like right when they opened up.
Really?
Yeah. But again.
They're back in school in Arizona?
No. It was a mall. It was a shopping center that someone shot up. They put it on Snapchat too, by the way. Got to get the likes. What was I saying? Oh, so we get all outraged about that, right? Like, we just like, this is it. We're going to make a change. And then, you know, a week later, no one cares. I hope that's not what happens here because it does actually feel like we've got a lot of momentum to make positive change. Now it's up to people in charge to actually go ahead and be held accountable and make real positive change. But it feels... And maybe this is just we've been fooled before and we'll get fooled again, but it feels different. This feels like there's real change coming. So fingers crossed that we are, because we can be better, we should be better, and God willing, we will be better.
Tech says, it's always been so dumb to me that people got more upset with how he was peacefully protesting than they did the reasons he was protesting.
Sure.
That's true. It's like... It was all just the method.
You were more angry about someone kneeling during a song than you were about someone.
We're all for protesting racism and cops killing black people, but we're for the cause of people being against cops killing black people, but not this way.
Yeah,
that's true. That's so silly when you think about it. And then somebody else said, you know, we do forget this a lot, that it was the Green Beret, the former NFL guy,
that came up with it,
that
right?
That told Kaepernick that he shouldn't sit because he was sitting on the bench at first. This guy was the one who said, hey, it'd be more respectful if you knelt. And he's a veteran.
And he did. And he was like, okay, good idea. I'll kneel. And
how dare you?
Yeah. It's interesting how, I guess it's not interesting to me, it's sad how quickly things get hijacked and turned into something that they're not, and then we once again lose the point of it, which is why I hope, with everything that's going on, we don't lose sight of the ultimate goal, which is to be better and to have equality.
You want the Terror Bear's statement?
Yeah, what did the Terror Bear have to say?
He released a paragraph. Whoa. That's not his. Hold on.
I feel like you saw something.
There's a lot of them.
I was worried there that you saw like something bad. Like that's
no.
Like a lot of times you Google image something and you're like, whoa, what's happening there?
It was the Blazers. It was the Blazers one.
Oh.
Because the Blazers organization and players put one out. See, everybody's put one out.
Yes. Well, not the Knicks. James Dolan.
Oh, that's true. No, Dolan said, yeah, no, you know, we're not going to do that because
we're going to sit this one out.
It's not really about that. It's about making money. So
it's good to be Jimmy Dolan, I guess.
Isn't that what he said? I'm going to read his statement next. You're right. Yeah, that reminds
me. He took some serious
flack.
Serious heat.
Okay, here's what Stotts said. Terry Stotts, head coach of your Portland Trailblazers. Hey, Portland.
hey, Rip City. No, I think
he says.
Do we actually believe that Stotts wrote this unlike the others?
You be the judge.
I think he wrote this.
You be the judge. I'm not black. I cannot pretend to know what it means to be black in the United States of America. I support and appreciate our police. We need our police to protect and serve. I cannot pretend to know what it means to be a police officer in the United States of America. What I do know is that we have an endemic racial injustice in our country. We have endemic racial injustice in our country. We have had racial injustice since the birth of our nation. Is the racial injustice in our country the same as it was in the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, 1900s? No. Still, racial injustice certainly exists on many levels in our country, and we can neither turn a blind eye nor deaf ear to that fact. Every American, regardless of one's ethnicity, should feel the pain of this injustice. Every American should accept responsibility for this injustice. Yet, it has become clear to me this responsibility falls mostly on white Americans. That is difficult for many of us to understand and accept. We need to effect change. That change will not happen immediately, but we must try to effect that change immediately. I urge everyone to seek out ways we as a people can be better. More importantly, I urge everyone to be introspective and seek out ways we can be better individually. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And that's a quote.
Yeah.
It can happen. If we want it to happen, we must. Now, that is a good statement.
Yes, it is.
And I do believe that he wrote that.
I think he wrote that.
Yeah.
Now, this is James Dolan's statement. Well, actually, it's not a statement. This was a memo to his company because he did not release a statement.
Now, let me just ask this question. Did you expect any different from James Dolan?
No, it's the most on-brand thing for James Dolan ever.
Yeah, exactly.
So it really is. So the people were waiting for the Knicks to say something, and the Knicks didn't say anything, and then this memo got released, and he wrote this to employees. It says that we know that some of you have asked about whether our company is going to make a public statement about the killing of George Floyd by a Minnesota police officer. I want you to know that I realize the importance of this issue, therefore I want you to understand our internal position. This is a turbulent time in our country. The coronavirus and civil unrest have taken a toll on our way of life. We at Madison Square Garden stand by our values of respectful and peaceful workplace. We always will. As companies in this business of sports entertainment, however, we are not any more qualified than anyone else to offer our opinion on social matters. What's more important is how we operate. Our companies are committed to upholding our values, which include creating a respectful workplace for all, and that will never change. What we say to each other matters. What we treat each other, how we treat each other matters, and that's what will get us through these difficult times.
No mm-hmm. worry, he didn't mention diversity.
Nah,
just respectful yeah. workplace of all white people.
That is very on brand.
Yeah,
for Jimmy,
and he's getting
Jimmy D,
and he's getting killed for it. But again, you'd expect nothing less. There's people that get it, and there's those that don't. And James Dolan will never. He just won't. He won't get it.
He's an S head.
Yes, he. And you know what? There's S-heads, and you're not going to change them. There are really racist bastards in this country that you will not change. It's just, it's not going to happen. You have to accept that, and you can't allow that to stop the positive momentum. You have to hold people accountable. You have to hold leaders accountable. You have to hold police chiefs accountable. Some of the best men I know are cops. I love cops. I'll come out and say some of my best friends are police officers, and they are some of the best men I know. But you know who could affect change more than anyone else? Police officers. You know who the racists are. You know who the bad apples are. Talk to a cop. They know. Stop hiring these people. It shouldn't take 17 times of someone complaining against you for you to be fired. And if you do get fired, don't be allowed to go to the next town over and get another job. Don't do the priest thing. Right? Well, hey, we got to move him somewhere else because he's touching someone inappropriately. Oh, we'll just move him somewhere else. No, because he's going to do the same thing. Stop. It starts there. You know, for all this talk, that they are the number one people that can be held accountable in this, and they can make a difference. Self-police yourselves. You know who these people are. You know what they're doing. Everyone that's been in a locker room knows who the racist piece of crap is in a locker room. And yet there's this idea that you can't call each other out, that you can't hold each other accountable. Yes, you can. When someone, if you're a police officer or you're a sheriff or you're a corrections officer and you see someone doing something, by God, stand up and say something. You watch what three other people watched that dude kneel on George Floyd's neck for 9 minutes and didn't do a GD thing about it. It's not that hard to sit up and say, no, we're not going to allow this to happen. It's that sort of change because you're not going to stop every racist. You're not going to stop people from learning how to be a racist piece of crap because it's ingrained. It's ingrained in their culture. It's ingrained in their family. But what we can do is act upon when we see it and stop it before it gets to a point where we're allowing these people to be in charge and can be a threat to someone else's life. That's where the change, to me, that's the obvious place where this can make an immediate change is right there.
You ready for Donald Sterling's statement to come out at all?
I don't even know. Isn't he?
No, he's not dead.
No, but I think he's like in the out.
Oh, dementia?
Yeah, I think he might be out in the field.
I didn't know that. Well, he's pretty old now, but. All right, coming up next, no fans means major changes to possibly benefit you, the viewer. A few of them next on The Fam.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, wrapping up hour one here. You know, there won't be any fans in the stands, at least initially in sport.
No.
In sporting.
Not if you ask the NFL or college football.
Yeah, well, they're a little later, though. I'm talking about, like, you know, if something gets going in July
but it sounds like
or August.
End of July, right, beginning of August is the target date for just about every league.
Yeah, I sort of feel like we're now getting to the point where by September, we one way or the other.
Yeah, it'll be back.
No, one way or the other, we're just done with it, and it's like, whatever.
We're not there. We're not there already.
No, we're heading there. We're careening there. Okay. I do feel like a lot of people are, you know, people are still out there in masks and there's phase one and phase two. I think by September 1 at this rate,
we're going to be at phase FU.
Yes. And it's like, hey, you know what? We're going to have the damn game. Show up and drink and have a good time.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it's where it's at.
It does seem like college football and the NFL are taking that approach of, we're just going to wait and see how little people care by the time September 1 rolls around.
I saw in Italy, you know, Italy got hit hard
with
the COVID thing. And I saw in Italy that they were kind of lifting some restrictions and then the weather got good. And they were flocked out.
Yeah.
Kissing on cheeks, you know, doing like they're just over it.
Yeah.
They went through a lot, and they're like, you know what? F it.
It's like, hooray, we're free. And someone's like, hey, you shouldn't do that. Go to hell.
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you, man.
So anyway.
When I'm out and about, I certainly, and I think this goes for anyone that's spending any amount of time milling around outside, that there is, like you said, it may not be there yet, but it is slip sliding down. What did you say? Careening down that hill.
We're heading there.
And it's careening with no brakes either. They're pulling a Bob and Doug McKenzie. No brakes. No use steering now. They're letting go on the wheel and just going.
Yeah. So anyway, nothing's really going to stop it unless we get like New York got.
Yeah,
and then the hospitals are overwhelmed. Yeah. And that, like, that's when it's like, oh, crap.
Well, think about
it. Other than that, people will not.
When's the last time you heard from a government official on COVID? It's not front page news.
What happened to Fauci?
Anymore. Yeah, well, he's just...
Fauci's still doing his thing?
No. Well, I mean, he's still working, but he's not meeting with the president. They don't have the task force anymore. We don't have any more briefings. And when you turn on the news, like, COVID is like story six on most of the...
Part of that's fatigue, and part of that's obviously you know, other things going on.
Something else came along, and, well, it got to, the Tim Donaghy thing, right?
Yeah, it's like, Mike Vick.
Like, nothing's going to take care of this, man. Michael Vick.
Which came first?
Donaghy did.
Donaghy was...
We were
debating him all summer, and then Vick came along.
Yeah, Donaghy was, like, the big one. We're like, oh, my God, we've got an official possibly throwing games. They're like, what could be more important than this? Maybe the most marketable guy in the NFL going to prison over dogfighting. And Tim Donaghy, that was the best thing that ever happened to Tim Donaghy was Michael Vick.
You remember didn't we have Donaghy on?
I think
we did because you wrote a book.
He wrote a book. We had him on after the fact. Yeah.
And he's like, hey, you guys need any hot picks, call me.
Good. Well, it's funny how you can like resurface. Mark Furman goes and, Furman was on ice. Hand to God, like when I'll be sometimes driving home and I'll flip through different news stations because I always like to try
to get. What? You don't listen exclusively to 1080 The Fan?
No, not all the time.
You don't rip the dial off?
Most of the time. But sometimes I will. I'll flip through and I'll go through all three of the major news networks and I like to hear the different points of view. I think it's important to try to get all sides of an issue. Understand all points of view. And I could not believe at the beginning of this that Mark Furman went on as an expert in race relations.
No way.
Yes, he did.
On what channel?
What do you think?
Is TV or radio?
Well, it's the TV on radio. You know, they broadcast them on.
Oh, they broadcast?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about like satellite?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about like locally.
No. National news network.
So Fox News, they put him on there as the.
Yes.
For race. Yes. Race relations.
They brought him on to talk about the racial unrest in our country and what was happening on George Floyd. I sat there in my car and was like, oh,
all right.
My word.
Yeah.
But, you know. But yeah, Tim Donaghy came back.
And he was out there.
Yeah, he was back. Like, he was the most disgraced guy in the NFL. And then, like, after a while, people were like, well, let's listen to this guy. And he became like a big deal about kind of talking about the NBA and people listened to him.
He served time for that, right? Like, they put him away.
I don't know if he did or not.
He did. I think he got a couple years. That's when he wrote his book.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote his book in prison, I think.
I don't remember if he went to prison or not. Vic did. I know that. Vic did what?
No, Donaghy did. I'm almost positive.
Yeah.
Almost.
And then came back and, you know, he became like a credible. Well,
I think I have his number. You want to call him?
Yeah, see what he's up to.
Text him. Hey, Tim, you got any locks?
Well, the guy liked to lay down some action. He liked to lay down some juice from time to time.
Yeah. Kind of a no-no when you're an NBA official, though.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
Yeah, you can't do that. And then there was another official that, like, he called, like, a couple hundred times, but he somehow didn't.
Yeah, Scott Foster.
Was it Scott Foster?
Who continued to officiate.
Yeah,
no one cares.
Yeah, no one cared about that.
Dude, David Stern, the late David Stern, rest in peace. I think David Stern was great for the NBA. I think he was a good commissioner. Boy, did they sweep this one under the rug?
Well, you had to, right?
That's you couldn't open that can of worms.
No, that's like the biggest catastrophe any league could face if you had systemic, tainted officials. And you better believe that whether Scott Foster or anyone else was involved, they were doing everything. They broke out the dustbuster there, man. They weren't even sweeping that under the rug. They were going to vacuum that up and then throw it in the dump.
Scott Foster is still doing games.
Yeah.
I just looked him up.
Well,
25 seasons he's been out there.
Again, hey, no harm, no foul.
How did he survive that?
I don't know. Again, a lot of powerful sweeping. Yeah, it's just
fascinating.
Not talk about this.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Focus. Next, changes to sports with no fans. Next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.